To continue this morning on the Will of God series. It's just so much, you can't do it in one Sunday morning message. We've already talked a couple of weeks on our alignment. You know, we have to be aligned in order to position ourselves to hear from God. We have to make sure that our life gets aligned so that we can be in the right place at the right time. And today, we're going to talk about how we hear the voice of God so we can fulfill our assignment, fulfill the destiny that God has for our life. I keep reminding you that God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, it's up to us to make a discovery of what that plan is. How do we hear, if you will, the voice of the commander in chief so that we can fulfill or walk into the assignment that God has for us? We'll never fulfill the assignment until we first get ourselves aligned. So we had to take some time about alignment so we can fulfill and carry out and do our assignment. Are you with me? Proverbs 20, verse 27. It says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." Now, when it comes to listening or comes to hearing the voice of God, because we are human, most of the time we are people that go by our five physical senses. We like to, touch, taste, smell, hear. But can I just tell you that probably 99.9% of the time, you are not going to hear an audible physical voice from God. I have never heard God speak in an audible voice to my life. But I have heard God. And because we are people that are different, we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the capacity to hear and be directed by God. Now, the Old Covenant people, the Old Testament people, they were not born again. Their spirit man was dormant, or it was not created, a recreated spirit, so that they could hear the voice of God. So they had to depend upon their senses, upon their flesh, upon the five physical senses. The point is this, that most, even Christians in New Testament time, try to hear God and serve God from their head. And if we never learn to follow God with our spirit, we will never be very spiritual. And if we're not spiritual, we will always remain carnal. And if we're carnal, we will never find and fulfill and do the will of God for our life. Amen. Notice what it says. It says, the spirit of a man. That's the part on the inside of you that is not your brain. It is not your mind. It's not where the senses come from, but it's located, if you will, in the center. Some translations call it your belly. In fact, the Amplified says it this way, the spirit of man, the factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, now look at this last part, is the lamp of the Lord searching all the innermost parts. The literal Greek, or the literal Hebrew there says, all the rooms of that are in its house are the rooms that are in its belly. So the Spirit of God is down on the inside of you, And it incorporates, or it's in the housing of the spirit of man. Now listen to me, because in actuality it is referring to a house that's on the inside of you, but not just a house, but a big house, a large house, a house with many rooms. Now, here's the problem. Most Christians never get past the vestibule. You know what a vestibule is? The lobby or the entrance? The foyer? Can I use simpler words for you? They never get past the very entrance. In fact, a lot of them just get a sleeping bag and a camp stove and camp out on the front porch. And the Holy Spirit wants you to enter on in to the house. Because in the house, there's a lot of rooms. There's a lot of places for you to discover. And the Spirit of God wants you to rise up and let Him take you, if you will, by the hand and lead you into the different compartments or in the different rooms that are in this big house that's down on the inside of you. Amen. Are you with me, church? So the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I want to take you through the rooms of your life. I want you to discover what your plan or what my plan is for your life. I want you to discover my purposes for your life. And as I said, your spirit, here's what your spirit does. Your spirit is where you probe the depths of what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be. That's why unspiritual people will never find the will of God. They will always be, and if you're an analytical person like I used to be, I said used to be, always trying to figure things out before I act, always trying to calculate things before I respond. Now, it's good to think about things, but again, if you're an analytic person, then you're always going to be able to try to understand God with your brain. But I got news for you. You can never, ever understand God in your own human brain, your own human intellect. Amen. You will never understand spiritual things. You will never understand. Jesus said, out of our belly, out of that spirit man that's located somewhere in the center of our body, it shall flow rivers, come on somebody, of living waters. So we come back to a place where, you know, we have, in modern times, we have these cell phones even now that have the GPS. How many of you have a cell phone with GPS where you can just, you know, search and you can, and just a pin will drop down and it'll show you exactly where you are, latitude, longitude, of where you are in the earth. Isn't that great technology? And you can pinpoint and go to another point and it'll tell you how to get there. So it tells you where you are and the directions to where you need to go. Now, let me ask you something. If you don't know where you're at, how are you ever going to know where you're to go? See how funny we can be trying to figure things out? So GPS, global position satellite, I'm going to change the words to God's purposes in our spirit. Say it with me. Say God's purpose in my spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be GPS ruled. I want to follow God's purpose and God's plan for my life. Because if I don't know where I'm at, I'll never know where I'm going. Amen. So I've got to come back and understand that as the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14 says, they are the sons and the daughters of God. Now go with me over to the, and I want to stress this today to you, because if you've just been trying to figure out the will of God for your life from your head, read my lips right now, stop that. Stop it. You will never figure out the will of God from your head. God can show you things that you would never be able to see from a natural standpoint. Are you with me? Now let's look at this. Over in 2 Corinthians, over in the New Testament, we'll spend the rest of this time in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Now Paul, the apostle, is talking to us about the level of maturity. And our spirit being, the Bible says, is the lamp, or what illuminates, or directs our path. It's what communicates. The spirit man, as I've taught you many times, is what communicates with God. It's the part of us that communes with God. Now, look at verse 9. It says, but it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now he's talking about the rooms of your house. Now notice what it says. But God has revealed them to us, how? Through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You cannot know God except through the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can only be known through the spirit of man. It says, now we have received, now we have received. We're not like Old Testament saints. We're not like the people before that had to be sensed through, or sense that they were following God, or they had to put out those fleeces, remember? Or they had to have some signs. Now we are born again. Somebody say, I'm born again. Okay. It says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God, listen, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Those things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. In other words, he's saying to us that in your house, if you can get past the foyer of it and start examining, there are many rooms in your spirit that have treasures there from God, and God wants to direct you to those rooms so you can discover what God wants you to do. And so I think about when he says prepared, we don't even begin to realize, or we could never begin to imagine what God has for us to do trying to figure it out with our mind. It's like, you know, have you ever been into one of those big Chinese buffets where they got rows and rows and rows of things to put on your plate? And you start down there, you know, you start out a little hungry, and before you know it, you got a big pile on that plate. So you go down and you sit and you try to eat that, and then you want some more, so you start going down through some more rows, but now you're kind of full, so you just start picking a little bit here and picking a little bit there. Come on, somebody. And pretty soon you're, but there's still a lot of things on the buffet that you hadn't tried yet. But you paid one price, and that one price entitled you to everything that was there. Amen. Are y'all here?
Yes.
See, Jesus paid one price, didn't he? And that's why he says later on, all things are yours. All things are of God. All things belong to God. You belong to Christ. God belongs to Christ, and you belong to Him.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say to you is that you and I don't want to leave anything on our plate. We don't want to leave anything that has not been discovered, that we can, by the Holy Spirit, we don't have to leave any part of our life undiscovered. But you will never discover it apart from the Holy Spirit, who will lead you, who will guide you, who will direct you in what God has called you to do. Now, there's another scripture I want to use. Can you put up Acts chapter 22, verse 10? Just put it up in the NIV. Don't turn there yet. Acts 22, 10, because I just want to, we'll get to that in a minute, but I want to show you something here about what our assignment is. Okay, can you put up in the NIV? Do we have the NIV there in the software? Here's what it says. This is when the apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road and the Lord saved him. Did we have that scripture? If not, I'll read it to you. I've got it written down here. It says, what shall we do, Lord? Here's what he said. What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord says, get up, the Lord said. Everybody say, get up.
Get up.
It says, and go into Damascus. There will be told, now look at this, all that you have been assigned to do. You'll have to take my word for it. Apparently we don't have it in the software this morning. He says, all that you have been assigned to do. Assign is a military term. Like when you go through or go into the army and you do your training, they assign you with orders of where you're to go. That you get through with the basic training, they assign you to go to Fort Hood, or they assign you to go to Iraq or whatever. But it's a military term so that you have been given an assignment of what you're to do with the rest of that part of your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Alignment is when we get our hearts right, when we get ourselves into position to hear God so that we can fulfill our assignment. Our assignment is what God's will is for our life. How many of you want to do the will of God for your life? The perfect will of God for your life. In order to do the perfect will of God, not only do you have to be aligned, but now you're going to have to learn how God communicates with you and I. How God speaks to us. And I've got five things here I'm going to give you this morning, and I'll give you five more next week because we won't have time to get all of them. But I want to show you today the way that God delivers assignments to our life so that we can find out and discover, if you will, in those rooms, in our spirit man of what God wants us to do and what God has called us to do and be. The first one, in fact, let's just go over to the 14th chapter. You're in 1 Corinthians. Let me read one more scripture to you before we go there. Let me read Romans 8:26, because the first thing that I want to talk to you about how God speaks to us is praying in the Spirit. Write that down. Praying in the Spirit. How many of you pray in the Spirit? Here's what it says in Romans 8:26. It's a very familiar scripture. Let me read that before I go to 1 Corinthians 14. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. That's what he's telling us. So can you see in your mind, conceive that God would give you a special language to talk to Him so that He can translate that back so that you can have understanding of it. You would have never thought of that on your own. You know why? Because as human beings, we like to feel like we're in control. And the language that we speak is the way that we show control. And as long as we can control the conversation, then we are in control. Are you with me? But you know, here comes God and He gives us a prayer language because no longer are we in control. See, we like to be in control of our life. How many know, as long as we're in control of our life, we're going to miss the bridge many times. We're going to miss the crossroad many times. Are you with me? We have to learn to yield the control of our life over to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God knows how to lead us and get us to exactly where we're to go and do and be exactly what we are to do and be.
Amen.
We can't figure that out, see, from our brain, even from our education process. All we can do is like the world does, using that conversation to be able to take charge of certain situations. But see, in this, God is in charge. It bypasses your mind. He says, you don't know how to pray. How many of you want to pray the will of God? Amen. Well, he's telling us, he said, you don't know how to pray it. But I'll give you a language that you and you alone can use to talk to me, and you will pray my perfect will. How many believe that's a good idea? How many believe that's an idea that came from God? It didn't come from man. Well, he says, you do not know how you should pray as we ought, but the Spirit, everybody say the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Words too hard. Listen, words too hard for us to say. We can't even begin to comprehend the language of God. Are you with me? Not in our mind, not in our understanding, not in our education. He says, verse 27, now he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according, what's the last four words? Oh, so when I pray in my heavenly prayer language, now I can bypass my mind and I can pray, listen, in the language that God gives me. And if I pray in the language God gives me, then I can pray the perfect will of God. How many believe that's a pretty good deal? Oh, see how privileged you are? Now go back to 1 Corinthians 14. I had to tell you that before I read this, because, you know, some of you are at different places, and I believe in praying in the Spirit. I said, I believe in being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you can stop being in control and you can just relax. You can just chill out and let God be in control of your life. Amen? You don't have to worry about missing it as long as God is directing you. Because God is not going to take you to a place, listen to me, that you're going to end prematurely or in destruction. Now there may be a place that you go to, and we'll discover there may be places and times that you don't understand them. But you just need to relax and let God lead you. Now verse 14. Are you here? It says, verse 1 and 2 says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? So the language that God gives you is not to speak to me not to speak to you, but to speak to God. Now what does it say? It says, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. If you will, as one translation says, divine secrets. When I pray in the Spirit, it bypasses my understanding. Because, see, if I just pray, you know, I could pray all kinds of things. I might pray like, God, that guy has really done me wrong. Would you let lightning fall from heaven and strike him? Don't look so holy up here. You see what I'm saying? And the Spirit of God said, no, no, that's not what I do. Sakatala baso tavarisa. You see what I'm saying? Because our mind, see, it has to disengage so the Spirit man can come to the forefront. So that you can be led by the Spirit, like Romans 8:14 tells us. Are you with me, church? And then if you drop on down, see, to verse 14, I believe it is, it says, for if I pray in a tongue. So we're talking about a prayer language. We're talking about a language that God gives you and I when we are baptized or when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Okay? It says, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, here's what I found out. Is that when you pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray and you talk to God through the Spirit that way, from your spirit to the Spirit of God. But God begins to, if you will, illuminate, or He begins to bring fruitfulness to your understanding. You don't always understand. You can't figure God out with your mind. But if you learn to pray in the Spirit, let's read, I'm going over these things with you because this is how you're going to know. See, if somebody comes to me, first of all, and says, Pastor, I'm not sure what the will of God is for my life, I'm going to ask them, have you prayed in the Spirit? Now, they can say one or two things, but see, the Bible says, have you been filled or baptized in the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, there's a lot of people who have been saved, but they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I grew up in denomination, church, that never ever told me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I cannot remember too many of the sermons, but I can tell you this. I do remember them in one of the churches, the B Church. I remember them giving salvation calls a lot, and people got saved in the Baptist church. But every week, same people were coming back up to get saved. Same people were coming back up to rededicate their life. In other words, every week it was a salvation message. While the rest of us were sitting there saying, and I said this to myself, I said, I'm saved. I mean, why? I know I'm saved. I mean, what? I'm saved. But they never once told me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I didn't know what I'm teaching you today, but when I received and got into a place where they were preaching faith, preaching the Word, and the Holy Ghost came upon me and then came in me, I came up in a newness of revelation and understanding that there is faith, there is a redemption, there is the grace of God, there is mission, there is the purpose in everything that we do for God. Amen. Well, I say that to you because you've got to learn to use what God has given you to discover those rooms that are on the inside of you. Now, here's the second one. I've got to move along here. The second one is fasting. Now that I got the Chinese buffet out of the way, and I can't spend a lot of time on fasting because we've taught on that a lot, but how does fasting help me know or understand the will of God? Now, here's what I've learned. Here's what I know, is that when I go without food for a certain amount of time, whatever that time may be, I know that my body and my mind goes haywire. I know it starts rebelling because it wants to be in control. Yes, eat that fudge brownie. It won't hurt you. Oh, take that extra plate of rice and beans. You see, when you start fasting, you start pushing back, if you will, the control of your mind. The mind likes to be in control of your body because your mind is what tells your body what it's going to do. It's like when you get up in the morning Sunday and say, oh, I wish I could sleep another hour. And then you do. God didn't tell you to sleep the other hour. Are you with me? You see, so when I fast, it starts to allow, now listen to me, it allows my spirit to take control. If my spirit can take control, it will obey the Spirit of God. Because it's created in the image and likeness of God. So, you know, when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, the very next thing He did was went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and nights. I said, fasted 40 days and nights. And the Bible says after those 40 days, He hungered, or literally He was starving, because You know, they tell us, and I never have done a 40-day fast. Someday I'm sure I will. But I've never done one, but I can tell you this, those that have, and what I have researched about it, at 40 days of nothing but water, you begin to die. I mean, you've used every ounce of flubber blubber that you've got. It depends on how much you went in with, how you feel in 40 days. But I found out, listen, if you just fast one day, you'll be surprised that your spirit man begins to reveal things to you. If you can go 3 days, oh, I tell you, you'll start solving problems. You'll have situations, you see what I'm saying? It sensitizes yourself to be out of the sense rule in over into the spirit rule arena of your life. Are you with me? And so when somebody says, well, Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, here's the second question I would ask them. Not only have you prayed in the spirit, but have you fasted? Fasted. See, you're going to have to be a person who fasts. I mean, not every day, not every week, but you're going to have to be a person that fasts in order to get your senses out of the way to make and to receive major direction for your life. Can I just tell you something? God has not called you and I to make decisions. He's the decision maker. All He's called us to do is to hear and receive and obey. I mean, He'll make the decision for you if you can hear Him. Why do so many Christians make mistakes in their lives about major things? It's because they don't spend time praying in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to illuminate to their mind. And they don't fast like they should. And this is not a teaching on fasting, but I just needed to remind you of even how there's so many examples of fasting and prayer. I was going to give you the one in Acts chapter 13 where Paul and Barnabas, they were in the church at Antioch there, but the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate me unto the work that I've called them to do. It gets us into a place where we can receive direction. Now here's the third one. Is an inward voice. How does God guide us? How do we know what the will of God? Well, we have to pray in the Spirit. We have to fast occasionally because God has not called us to be decision makers but to be hearers. Are you with me? But then here's this inward voice. God guides us by an inward voice. And again, let me just reiterate that to you. It's not always a loud voice or a voice spoken out loud. But make no mistake, when God speaks to you by an inner voice, you know that it is God. The psalmist said, the voice of the Lord shakes the cedars of Lebanon. So it will utterly be something, and it'll usually come when you're not expecting it to come. I think I've told this. I was like 18 years old at Dallas Baptist College, and I heard the voice of the Lord. Not an audible voice, but something on the inside of me. It said, I have called you to preach. Amen. At 18 years old, I remember to this day exactly the color of the building, the second floor that I was on, the tile, the big squares of the granite floors, looking out over Dallas Naval Air Station, watching F-14s touch and go. Had no more spirituality about me or anything, but I heard it down here. Are you with me? Amen. Once you hear the voice of God, you will never, ever, never doubt that you heard God. You will know. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. Just turn over there right quick. because it gives us many instances of hearing the inward voice. The Lord will come and tell you, listen to this, the Lord will come and tell you to do something that you never thought of doing. I never thought of preaching, I can tell you that. In fact, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, when I get ready, can you imagine me, wonder he didn't get lightning and just, I said, when I get ready, Lord, because I'm here to learn and I'm here to do something so I can be about my Father's business, but not the Heavenly Father's business. Are you with me? Okay, so here's what I want to say. The fasting, the prayer, the inward voice. Now, not the inward witness. We'll talk about the inward witness a little bit later. The inward witness gives you confirmation. The inward voice gives you direction. If you read over in the book of Acts, Acts 8. I was going to show you a lot of things here, but we don't have time for it. Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it says, the Spirit said. You'll find many times in the Bible where it says, the Spirit said, the Spirit said. In other words, God gave Peter a vision to go to the house of Cornelius. Anybody remember that story? Cornelius was of the Italian band or was a Gentile. Now listen, Peter was a devout Jew. There was no way that he would ever be caught dead in the household of a Gentile. But you see, through fasting, through prayer, and through the inward voice, God spoke to him and gave him direction where to go. And it was confirmed by Cornelius when he got there because he had the same vision. What I'm trying to tell you is that it will come many times when you don't think it will come, and it will come to give you something to do that you would have never thought of on your own. Are y'all here this morning? And then the fourth one right quickly, the fourth way that God delivers, if you will, His message of instruction to us is through angels. Say angels. In the verse right up there, you're still in Acts chapter 8, we'll just look at one. It says, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying. So we see that the Spirit of God spoke, and then we see, listen, we see angels. We see at least five instances in the book of Acts alone where angels came and was used as God's delivery system to speak direction to the person that God wanted to go here or there. Are you with me? And listen, as far as I know, I've never seen an angel. Now, angels come in disguise. I heard some angels before. I've never seen an angel. But we have to be very careful when we are looking for angels. Because angels can come as an angel of light, but yet be an angel of Satan. Now you do realize that there's twice as many angels on God's side as there are the devil's side. So we're not just, you know, we're not just out trying to get a flash in the pan of seeing an angel. Because I know the New Age and all those type people teach about angel where you have pens, they rub their pet angel and all that kind of stuff. But we have to be careful because Satan can appear as an angel of light. Just like he did to Joseph Smith, the prophet Moroni, that started the Mormon religion, the cult, appeared and said, hey, I've got another addendum to add to the Word of God. It's called Mormonism. And how many know it's a cult and it's leading a lot of people to hell today? Are you with me? And that's why he says in Galatians 1:6, he said, Paul said, though I or anybody else or an angel come and preach any other gospel besides Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. So we have to be careful. Sure, angels appeared. Angel appeared to Mary. Angel appeared to Peter. And angel appeared to Paul and shook the jailhouse door and led them through three gates to come out and to be free. Elisha standing up on the rim of that mountain, the chariots of fire and the enemy around him said, open the eyes of my servant Gehazi. And Gehazi said, hey, there be more that with us than there are against us. So the angels are real. Hebrews says that they are all given to us as heirs of salvation for ministering spirits. But the point is, you won't always see them, and you have to be careful because the angel can transform or manifest himself also as that angel of light. Are you with me? And then here's the last one. Not only will angels speak to you, but there are what I call the open doors. What I mean by this is sometimes doors will close. The Bible teaches you and I that sometimes there will be unexplainable situations. There'll be circumstances, things that will appear to thrust you into the wrong direction. Like Joseph, if we had time, we'd go there. Remember Joseph? He was the favorite of his father, had the coat of many colors. Yet his own brothers shoved him down in that pit. And he was sold into slavery. And he went into Potiphar's house and there blamed and went into prison. But you see, God had a plan. What we have to understand is that God was in control all the time because he had a destiny for Joseph's life to end up in a certain place that could bring deliverance to his whole house. So we have to realize sometimes it looks like we're, you know, going down this track and all of a sudden, man, this door closes and we're going over here and this door closes. Well, can I just tell you again? Just relax. If you're following God, if you're serving God, if you love God and you learn how to listen to God, if a door closes, get ready because God is opening up another door and it may be around the corner. Just write the scripture down, Proverbs 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man, this is a good scripture, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So I am convinced, if you read your Bible and you see stories like Elijah that was told to go down to the brook Cherith, and there the ravens would bring him raven cakes every day to eat, and he would drink out of the brook Cherith. But you know, one day I'm convinced he would have remained there forever because he was supernaturally being sustained by God. He got in a comfort zone, but God wanted him to move, and God dried up the river. I'm telling you, sometimes the river dries up. And how many know when the river dries up, it's time to move on? Come on, somebody. And the Bible says that he was to get up and go to that widow woman in Zarephath. He said, for there I have commanded that woman to sustain thee. And there she multiplied, come on, the meal and the oil, and they lived in prosperity as long as they trusted in God and God's servant. Are you with me? Oh, man. We have to understand that there's sometimes we're not in control of the ship. God is saying to us, look, I don't want you to drive. Get in the back seat, or better yet, get in the trunk and let me do the driving of your life. Amen. I will take you where you need to go. But we've got to learn. We've got to learn to hear the voice of God. We've got to pray in the Spirit. I'm giving you five things today because sometimes we feel like we are being blown off course. Do you understand the Apostle Paul he had no choice. He was a prisoner of the Roman people. He didn't have any choice of what ship he got on. But he did say, hey, let's don't go out there. This is the wrong time of year to be on a cruise. There's hurricanes. And how many know? They got out there and here came a hurricane. And that began to toss them, but an angel appeared to Paul. Said, hey, all will be lost, but not your lives. Now, he didn't have any say-so. He was being blown in a direction that was not in his understanding. But it was in the mind of God. Because Paul wound up on an island, hello somebody, of a whole group of people that did not know Jesus, and Paul was able to save a whole island of people. God knows exactly where he wants to take you because he's already got the plan. And if you get the plan, you'll be doing the will of God in your life. I don't ever for one moment think Paul ever realized what all God had for him. In fact, if you read the book of Philippians, you'll find out in the first chapter, he said, all these things that I've been through, he said, they were for the furtherance of the gospel, because the end of all this matter is now I'm standing in the palace. He wasn't bragging on himself. He said, I'm standing in the household of Caesar, and the Bible says that they believed. He got the household of Caesar saved because he was doing the will of God, even though he got blown off course, got shipwrecked, got bitten by a snake. But the end result was he wound up being where God wanted him to be and do what God wanted him to do. So I ask you today, do you know what the will of God is for your life? God's going to close some doors. He sure is. He's going to close, you know, doors on jobs. Now don't come in here and say, hey, I got a pink slip today, Pastor. Why'd you get a pink slip? Well, because I'm always late for work and I talk too much on the phone. How many know that's not the Spirit of God leading you to get fired? That is not wisdom. But let me tell you something. I don't believe that the Apostle Paul had any idea whatsoever. He couldn't even begin to dream or imagine what was in store, what God had for him to do. I read that scripture to you in Acts 10:22, where he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? Amen. Lord, what do you want me to do? See, some of you, you know why you don't pray that prayer? Because you're camped out on the porch of your house. You're satisfied with your little sleeping bag and your Coleman stove cooking Vienna sausage. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, come on in here. I got some rooms in this house. I got some bathrooms with running water. Some of you are using the outhouse still. Amen. He's saying, I got a kitchen with all the modern appliances. I got closets, room enough to put all the clothes that you can accumulate. I've got attic space. I've got storage space. I've got rooms full of goodies for your life. But we're going to have to let the Holy Spirit take us into those rooms to discover what God has for us. Can you say amen? Amen? Come on, stand up on your feet just a moment. We're going to take communion here, but I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to begin. See, you set back for an open door after you have praised God. Everybody say, praise God. After you have just lifted your hands and say, oh Lord, what would you put that scripture back up there? Did y'all ever find the NIV? If you don't, put it up in the New King James. I want them to see it before we take communion. Listen to me. Come on, everybody, just lift your hand. How many of you know how to pray in the Spirit? Just pray in the Spirit. I'm telling you, God will close some doors, but the doors that God closed, no man shall be able to open. Oh, thank you, Jesus.